Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Creature Feature, production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host of Mini Parasites, Katie Golden. I studied psychology and evolutionary biology, and today on the show... Donkeys! From the domesticated donkey to their wild-ass kin, donkeys are an underestimated animal with a courageous heart. There are many varieties of donkeys, but they all have one thing in common, a desire to kick ass. Discover this and more as we answer the age-old question, what's the Lamborghini of the donkey world? Joining me today to talk about asses is TV writer and host of the podcast Yo, Is This Racist, Andrew T. Welcome!
Hi, thanks for having me.
I am so excited. A big fan. I think I read your... You had a blog like a long time ago, right?
Yeah, like over like about 10 years ago now, maybe more.
Yeah.
It was sort of the same thing. Oh, God.
I read it before it was a podcast. So, you know. Just saying.
Thank you. It's I'm positive. When you think about things you wrote that long ago, it's always just like, oh, God. But
I thought it was good. So
who knows? Sort of my memory, but also I'm just like, who the hell knows what's
no,
in there?
No, I thought it, well, I read it, so I thought it was good. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
But now you're on my turf, so we are going to talk about donkeys. So one of the reasons I asked you to come on is that I can see from perusing your Twitter that you are a fan of cute animals.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, I have, you can probably see on the Zoom window, I have my chihuahuas who are forbidden from roaming the house because they are, they're not great with not peeing on the couch. They're locked in this office with me, basically.
My goodness.
I'm pretty good with animals. I was never really like an animal person growing up. Not an animal person, but like, we would occasionally, I think it's because my parents are definitely not like pet people. So we'd occasionally have we had fish for a little while. We had a fish tank and like, I think a bird, which was a little like, I think it's that thing like from the.
Doesn't seem like a thing you forget. Like maybe a bird. Maybe
it was definitely a bird. I guess I was trying to remember the story because it is probably one of those like, this is exactly the wrongest way to adopt a bird. For one, I don't think anyone had any sense of how long they should live. And so that, you know, I'm positive we didn't do the correct job taking care of it.
A parrot?
Yeah, or like a
budgie.
Yeah, I don't even know if those are different. Yeah, so
bird, finch.
Yeah, I mean it was just from like the grocery store, like so whatever the pet aisle at the literal grocery store was.
I was thinking like, Because at the grocery store, they also have lobsters that you get like to eat. So I was thinking, like, do they have birds that you just like?
No,
like chickens that you just take
home.
I am from
Michigan, so that's not like entirely outside of the realm of possibility. But no, it was nothing like that. It was just like one of those like Midwest mega stores in the 80s. So they had like just literally everything. Everything from guns to pets to every toy you could possibly really want in that era. And grocery, it's just, I don't know, like a Walmart. But
it's a one-stop kind of shop.
More.
Get your gun, get your mule. Speaking about the Wild West and mules, donkeys.
Yes.
So I love donkeys. They seem like a just kind of a basic, simple animal. You mm-hmm. know, just like they're in the background. You know, like when you see any kind of movie and then there's the mm-hmm. nerd who like wears glasses and you know, mm-hmm. works in the library and just like you don't notice them. But then I want to give these donkeys a makeover. And so we'll notice them for the beautiful, wonderful creatures that they are.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess they are like pre-combustion engine. They're like the infrastructure animal. It's like kind of like you don't notice a truck, especially, but a horse is like a personal car.
They're like the tugboats versus, mm-hmm. you know, versus the yacht. They're doing all the work. Mm-hmm. They're behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. They're the behind the scenes crew doing all the work, and they get none of the glory. And I want to change that.
Sweet.
So donkeys, like I said, they don't get enough love. I think like the last time we had a donkey as a hero was the classic movie Shrek.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great donkey representation, I thought. Because he was smart and brave. Which is, I think those are the two defining characteristics of donkeys. They are intelligent and they're very brave.
I guess that makes sense because it is sort of like the whole conceit of Shrek is the overlooked thing or the...
Yeah.
Making a hero out of something and having that extend to donkeys probably makes sense. I should confess, yeah. I've never seen a Shrek movie.
Are you kidding?
I am not.
Oh my God.
I was talking about this at work yesterday because all the child actors knew that Smash Mouth song, and it took me like a big second to realize it's because they had all grown up with it as infants watching Shrek.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm mad at you or like confused. Mm-hmm. It's a confused anger right now. I mean, look, I don't like to command people to watch things.
Sure.
It's like, that's not my place to tell you what media to consume. But it's like I don't understand how you've avoided it. It feels like it must have taken effort because I know that it was on every time the teacher in our school is like not having a good day, you know, had a hangover. Shrek was on. Shrek was there to teach us important lessons.
I think this is going to just directly age me. Yes. Okay. So I'm just old. Because like Shrek came out when I was in college. So I just like never really...
Professors didn't pop on Shrek when they were having hangovers?
Yeah. It makes sense. I would have had to like see it in the theater, I guess, which seems unlikely.
Right.
But yeah.
Shrek hit, I think, when I was in middle school.
Yeah.
And so that was like prime time. Here's a video. Let Mrs., you know, Gaberson just put her head down for an hour, maybe. Thank you.
I think that makes sense. I think also to the extent that I had an opinion on children's stuff, I think I was the kind of like pretentious like college kid who was like, well, I much prefer Pixar.
Yeah, but Pixar's never done a movie about donkeys. So what do they know?
That's what I'm saying. There's room. Right. There's room in the market.
So donkeys are far from just beasts of burden. They are intelligent, thoughtful, fiercely courageous, adorable, loving, and fascinating creatures. But because they're more free-willed than other domesticated animals, they get a bad rap as being stubborn. It's like, you know, one of Gordon Ramsay's favorite insults is calling you a donkey. Like, but a donkey is actually a great thing to be. It means you're brave and you're smart. And they are actually, so donkeys didn't just come out of nowhere, right? Like cows and donkeys. It's not like, you know, you build a farm and then suddenly donkeys and cows are there. Like the cow was domesticated from the wild ox and the chicken from the jungle fowl, donkeys were domesticated from the wild ass. Now, I'm going to say wild ass a lot on this program, and it is the scientific term, and so you are not allowed to derive any enjoyment out of hearing it.
Mm-hmm. That's like, I guess it's just but because of stubbornness or something. It's like the etymology of actual, the use ass is... I'm not curious enough to look it up. I'm never curious enough to look it up. But wow, what a weird, like, what journey for that word.
It really is a strange journey. Yeah, I guess ass meaning your butt must come from the term ass for the donkey, right?
It feels like it must just converge on people that are disliked somehow. You know, you are an ass because of the donkey, and then... you are also called a butt from time to time, and that just moved over.
And jackass is the term for the male donkey. Now, donkeys are also the progenitors of the most famous animal hybrid in the world, which is the mule. The mule is a male donkey plus a female horse. Of course, there are a lot of other types of donkey cocktails, such as the henny, which is a female donkey plus a male horse. So same combination as the mule, but the sexes are swapped of the parents. There's the zebroid, a.k.a. the zonkey, which is a female donkey and a male zebra, or the donkra, which is a male donkey and a female zebra. So, you know, you got some fun and fresh mixes there of donkeys and other... other horses out there.
I feel like I remember that from, yeah, I guess it must just be, I don't know, soft college biology class somewhere, just the page of all the...
They made you dissect a zonkey?
Just like the the hybrids. I guess it's sort of endlessly fascinating when you're in that part of college to think about hybrids or something. I don't know.
This is what you were doing, Zonky. Instead of watching Shrek.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, zonking out.
Waste of time.
Yeah,
waste
exactly.
of time. So the history of the donkey. They were domesticated in Africa around 5,000 years ago, probably in Nubia. So their original habitat was harsh desert lands. So donkeys are quite hardy. It was domesticated from a wild ass species, the African wild donkey. So we will talk more about these wild ancestors later. They have been used not only as beasts of burden, but working farm animals and as steeds. They spread across Africa, the Middle East, Europe, and Asia, and were soon just everywhere because they were so useful for humans. And when we find an animal that we think is useful, we propagate that thing until it is everywhere.
Right. Yeah. That's like that's just another way that we press evolution or pressing. That's so interesting. Here's another question. The word steed is just quadruped you could ride? As soon as you said steed, I was like, huh, what is the origin of that word? This is a real, I mean, honestly, most of my questions could be truly answered by a quick flip through the dictionary. And I cannot stress that I will not be either now or later doing those things.
I don't know the etymology of steed, but as far as I understand it, it is any kind of thing you ride. I don't even know if it needs to be a quadruped. Like get a rideable biped, like I think a rideable ostrich or an emu,
that's
I feel
a steed.
Like it still would be a steed, right?
Yeah, that sure as fuck is a steed, actually. That's clear. That's inarguable. I'm with you.
Right, exactly. So they were first introduced to South America by invading Spanish ships, and they were later introduced to North America via Mexico. They became incredibly popular in North America during the gold rush, used as a beast of burden by miners. But when the mining boom ended, many of these donkeys were either abandoned or escaped and formed a feral population of wild donkeys, aka wild burros. Most of them live in Arizona and they're still there, living their best free lives.
That makes sense. So it's, wow, what a odd journey. But I guess it's like the desert-ish area is just sort of an ecosystem. Yeah, you can just like find, yeah.
In Arizona.
The super ignorant thing of me that I'm about to say is that I would, I guess, assume like, this is just can't be correct, that like the desert is like less biodiverse than like, say, a forest or rainforest or whatever type thing. Anyway, I guess what I mean is like, because rocks is rocks and sand is sand. So like the African desert more similar to the Arizona desert than, say, an African forest as to a, you know, American forest, north or south or whatever. And I'm just like, as I'm saying, I'm like, that can't be right.
I mean, that's not a bad idea. I mean, I think that in general, when you have a harsher environment that is more sparse in terms of water and nutrients, I do think that in terms of biodiversity of larger animals, I think that is, it is tougher.
There's less substrate to be diverse among, right? Like the moon and Mars have the same biodiversity. So
right. I mean, there is a surprising amount of biodiversity when you look at deserts, especially when you include things like insects and vegetation and the smaller, less notable animals. But yeah, it is true. It is it's a harder lifestyle. So there's more competition for scarce resources. So it's a little harder to have, you basically, it's a thunderdome, whereas something like, while a rainforest may have its challenges, certainly, you also have a lot of other opportunities for animals to find little niches. And then, like, by finding these niches, you have more biodiversity.
Right. There's just more, like, carbon and water around, I guess.
Yeah. I think, like, the Amazon rainforest one of the areas where you have, like, the most, like, a huge, disproportionately huge number of different species there.
Right. And I guess it would have been, like, probably in Arizona before the wild asses outcompeted it, probably, like, buffalo or something like that around, I guess, or bison or something like that.
Yeah, okay. Bison. Yeah, exactly. And so, actually, there are feral donkeys in other parts of the world as well, not just Arizona. There's a group of feral donkeys in Italy called the Asinara donkey who live on the island of Asinara off the coast of Sardinia. So fascinatingly, the entire population is albino.
Oh,
so their
weird.
Ancestors were domesticated donkeys that were abandoned on the island when it was turned into a penal colony in 1885. And the locals were forced to evacuate and leave so they could build this penal colony. And then it's thought that the white coat, the albinism of these donkeys, was due to the fact that the original donkeys had been imported from a special breed from Egypt by the duke who once lived on the island that just had very particular tastes. It's like, hey, I like these albino donkeys. Let's get them on this island. And then when the island was turned into a penal colony and everyone had to leave, these donkeys were just left there, and then they formed their own feral population. And now it's no longer a penal colony, which is great, and the prison is abandoned, and the feral donkeys have taken possession of the prison.
Right.
So, like, now this is the donkeys have repossessed the penal colony, so now it is just, like, a donkey sanctuary.
Oh, man. I guess that makes sense, right? Because it's like anywhere that humans are, probably the first thing we do is get rid of the large carnivorous predators. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like, who the fuck is going to kill these donkeys?
Right. And I mean, islands actually can naturally not have large predators. It's like, you'll have a lot of islands where you have a lot of, like, you can have flightless birds and stuff that are sitting ducks, more or less, because you don't have predators here. So I don't even know if this island ever had any predators.
Right, right. That makes sense.
I don't really know the history of it, but they're doing great. It's now a national park and they're protected. So it's now weird. Their island.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's so great.
Yeah.
But before we move on to the next section, I just want to run through some quick donkey facts.
Sure.
They are in the same family as horses. As I mentioned earlier, male donkeys are called jackasses, and female donkeys are called jinnies or jeanettes, whatever you prefer, I suppose. Mm-hmm. It's like you see a donkey, and it's like, are you more of a jinny or more of a jeanette?
Oh, it's so formal. Jinny, please.
Please, Jeanette was my mother's name. So, donkeys who live and work in poorer countries live for about 15 years, but donkeys who lead more privileged lifestyles in richer countries can live from 30 to 50 years, which I think it's one, like when you look at animal health and stuff, you learn a lot about not just like the animals and the environment, but also you can learn about socioeconomic issues. Like you see this drastic effect on donkey lifespan. Well, you know, it's an interesting indicator in terms of
right
the difference in terms of quality of living in different countries.
That's so wild. Yeah. Is it like, as far as beasts of burden go, do we just like, people just like work animals to death? Like, you don't retire
sometimes,
a horse or a donkey usually.
I mean, it's one of those things where like, sometimes people do, you know, and sometimes you don't. I mean, if you're a subsistence farmer somewhere and you're struggling to have enough to feed your family, being able to like retire your donkey is probably the last of your worries.
It's such a, like, as far as like just from a straight resources perspective, it's just got to be like, it has to be counterproductive to retire an animal. What are you going to do? Feed it? It's the opposite. Feed it while it does nothing. Ugh.
It's also probably there's like a lack of veterinary care. You know, and like if you, again, like if you are a subsistence farmer, you may like, and I'm not saying that that like they don't care about their animals. They may love their animals, but if you don't have the resources to be able to take your animal to a vet, then you're not, it's not going to live as long.
It's also loving like work animals is like a particular perspective. That is probably would be my perspective, but also I'm not a farmer. Like, I don't know.
Right. Like, I mean, it really depends. Some farmers are going to view them as tools, like as they would view a tractor and probably care for them in the same way they would care for their tools. And some farmers form a connection with them. I think it really just depends.
Yeah. I guess what I mean is like, it's that perspective of like, I'm like, oh, how would you not? But it's like, you know, there's lots of reasons you wouldn't, and they're probably also okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, I think it is like, we can't sit here in our, you know, in sort of our wealthier nations and then be like, oh, you should be treating your donkeys better because it's
exactly.
Like, okay. Try to be on a subsistence farm.
Even the way I phrase it, it's like, oh, we work animals to death. It's like, well, yeah, but you know, it is not really like what leg do I have to stand on like the morality of that, honestly.
But I mean, it is, I think, we can think about these things in terms of animal welfare.
Yeah.
Because I really don't think, I do not think that animal welfare and human welfare are ever at odds with each other. I think they actually go hand in hand. And when you improve human and animal welfare, like they can both improve each other kind of simultaneously.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense.
So just a few more quick donkey facts before the break. So they have tough cupped hooves that are adept for rocky surfaces and climbing at steep angles. These hooves are more durable than horse hooves and do not require shoeing because they can sometimes be shoed if they're working and they're working on harder surfaces. But because these hooves grow so quickly and are so tough, they do not have as delicate a hoof as, say, a horse. Which sounds like I'm judging horses for their hooves. Oh, your little sensitive hooves.
I think it was probably like depressingly late in life that I kind of realized how like shoeing a horse worked. Because it's so wild, honestly, as a practice.
It's very strange.
I just couldn't
super weird.
Imagine coming up with it. Like, whatever road you take to get there, like, yeah.
Well, it's how did we figure, like, it must have been a weird and painful process, both for the human and the horse.
Yeah.
To figure out what part of the hoof was not sensitive.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you hurt a horse hoof, they will let you know.
Yeah.
And they'll kick you.
Just horrible as they all should, around. Yeah.
As they should. But yeah, I mean, like, so much of the hoof is non-sensory. Like, they do not have nerves. It's like your fingernail.
Yeah.
I mean, horses and donkeys, they're essentially like walking on a giant finger, which is weird to think about. And that hoof is a big old, like, big nail, essentially, fingernail, made out of similar stuff, you know, keratin.
Yeah.
And when they shoe a horse, they're like, they'll use nails and stuff. And it looks like, oh God, they're like nailing this thing to this poor horse. And it's like, well, if you do it correctly, then the horse will not actually feel, it shouldn't hit any nerves. It shouldn't be painful.
Yeah.
And it, yeah.
It's basically, it's just like wild that like, you're like, they're like walking around on like a press on nail, essentially, or like more like a surgically implanted press on nail. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. It's like if we nailed, like, just shoe soles to the, or like, maybe not nailed because that sounds painful, but like glued them on to the bottom of our feet.
I guess it's.
Sounds kind of convenient, I guess.
I mean, honestly, I'm sure there are people who are not, strictly speaking, opposed to something like that.
Well, if you walk around barefoot enough, it starts to get all callousy and you got your own hooves.
Yeah.
So that's my philosophy.
The same thing. Yeah. Sheesh.
So. They also have really tough digestive systems and can go for long periods without water. In areas with little water, feral populations are more solitary and they spread out so they don't have to compete for the few resources around. And if there is a lot of distance between them, they still communicate with each other by braying so that, you know, hee-haw, like that, those really loud donkey sounds, those are really useful for donkeys to communicate with each other when they have to spread out so that they're not all competing for the same water sources. But when there's ample food and water, they actually do like to congregate and live closer to each other and be more social. And usually females are the ones that form these more permanent well, they're quasi-permanent. They can, like, come and go, but they'll form actually these big mom groups, kind of hang out. And they'll sometimes let a couple of males join in if they like them. But if not, they will violently violently exclude the males. So they can be kind of cliquish, but for good reason.
That's so, and it's like, yeah, because horses are herds. Is it herds? Are they in herds?
Yeah.
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 And bison, buffalo, similar. But it's just like, as you go into the desert. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I get it.
They're both social and they can be solitary, which I think is a really interesting. Usually for animals, they're kind of like one or the other. But with certain animals, like they can actually be both kind of like on their own and then also social. So, you know.
Right.
It's not just introverts and extroverts. There are those of us who are somewhere in between.
I guess given how the other horsey type animals, they're like herd animals that had to develop an ability to be on their own, but they're still like talking. Got it. Okay. Weird. Yeah, that makes sense.
And there's actually some really interesting behavior that we're going to talk about right after the break that actually shows you sort of the difference between donkeys and horses and why that combo of solitary lifestyle, but then they also like the company of each other, has turned them into these wonderfully courageous and like just really hero donkeys.
Right. That's got to be interesting because it's like that has to like that's like closer to like the human experience or even just like this weird American experience where like we are clearly social animals, but some of us tell ourselves we are like lone wolves or whatever. But
you're
still living off the fruits of society and the social.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to figure out this metaphor maybe during the break.
During the break.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Okay, and so we are back. Did you figure out the metaphor?
It feels like it's almost there, but it is a thing where it's just like this like fake individualism, or not fake individualism, yes. But like it's not true individualism. I think I guess
it's a mirage.
Yeah,
of individualism. Yeah, no, I think that like, and this is. As we talk more about the donkey behavior, I think it is something to aspire to in terms of like they have a strong sense of individuality, but they care about other animals. They care about each other. And they, you know, that it's like you can be independent, but you can still care about your community.
Oh,
and donkeys. Yeah. Model this behavior perfectly.
I was looking at it the other way. Like donkeys are like the like libertarian assholes of the equine world who are like, we're live free or die, but they're still breathing all this non-polluted air and driving on roads and not dying of, you know, like uninspected meat or whatever.
No, donkeys are definitely community oriented animals. So they're known to be stubborn because they are actually highly intelligent, cautious, and strong-willed. So donkeys are less easily intimidated by humans than, say, horses. Mm-hmm. So with a horse, you can kind of, when you're riding a horse, they can be very responsive to you because their reaction to a stressful situation or is to like turn away, is to go away. So you can train a horse, more or less, like if I tug you in this direction, you go in this direction. They kind of trust the rider to know what to do, like to mm-hmm. have them avoid danger. Donkeys do not trust you.
Mm-hmm.
You can earn their trust slowly, but they will trust their own gut and they will not be bullied by you. And so mm-hmm. if they think that maybe something they're about to do is a bad idea, they will not do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they will become less stubborn if they have a close relationship with you. So they can bond with humans and grow to trust them, but you really have to earn that trust. So if you're like ride or die with this donkey
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I mean, again, it comes back to Shrek, which again,
uh-huh.
I'm shocked you haven't seen.
Right.
But the relationship between Shrek and his donkey, it was built on trust and mutual respect. And that is how you get a donkey to trust you, is to be more like Shrek.
Right, right,
not
right.
Like, Not like Lord Farquaad, which I know none of this means anything to you. You haven't seen Shrek.
No, well, I have a sense. I have a sense of what's going on just from...
You've absorbed...
Yeah, culture. But no, I think it is. It's more just like... Not more, sorry, because I don't know the original. But there is that, like, the instinct is to try to portray... The instinct in media is like the relationship with like a cowboy and his horse, like, you know, Lone Ranger and Silver are like one of a piece. But that's like more just that Silver is a brainless follower who will do whatever dumb shit the Lone Ranger wants him to do.
He's a sheep, a horse sheep.
Donkey.
A shorsh.
Donkey would be like, no. Donkey respond as an equal or something.
Donkey trusts but verifies. So donkeys are not to be trifled with. Unlike horses, who tend to scare more easily, and their response to danger is to run, which is a great strategy. I'm not anti-horse. It seems like mm-hmm. that. But I don't want to tear horses down.
Let's let the listeners decide who's anti-horse and who isn't.
Yeah. Right. Okay. All right. That's fair enough. But I will say, so in a herd structure, like with horses, running at danger is a sound strategy because you are part of a herd and you all run together. The chance that you're going to get picked off is, you know, not so high. But if you're on your own, running is maybe not a great strategy. And so donkeys, who sometimes have to live solitary lives when resources are more scarce, have learned to stand up for themselves. And so when they perceive danger, they stop in their tracks, they assess the situation, they scream in anger, and then they defend themselves. So this is why there are guard donkeys, which is a real thing. So who can be even more effective in some circumstances than guard dogs on like a farm. So guard donkeys tend to protect things like herds of sheep, cattle, maybe even chickens, because when they see a predator like a coyote or a wolf or a fox, even like a hyena, they have an instinctive hatred of these kind of dog-like animals. Mm-hmm. And they will go super aggro on them. So they will bray really loudly, which will often alert the farmer that something is amiss. And they will confront the predator, stomping, biting, and sometimes picking up and tossing the poor unsuspecting carnivore away. And despite being smaller than horses, they are a lot fiercer.
Right.
They will basically protect anything, anyone and anything, whether it's another donkey, another animal, or even a human, and they will fiercely defend anyone they have bonded with.
I guess that makes sense, too, because it's like it's plenty big enough to handle like your wolf, fox, coyote type situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're not. And one of the nice things about having a donkey as a guard on a farm versus like using firearms or something is they don't typically kill the predator. They are capable of killing predators, but usually they just scare them off. Like mm-hmm. if you get tossed by a donkey, you're not necessarily going to go back for seconds.
Right.
So they aren't really aggressive. They're typically just defensive. They don't go out seeking conflict. There are some donkeys who have actually been specifically bred for guarding. So like the most courageous, calm and courageous donkeys who have both been trained and sort of selectively bred to be the best guard donkeys in the world, I guess.
That makes sense. It's really, I mean, it probably especially like, having an herbivore be your guard makes a lot more sense than any given carnivore. Yeah. Just like why you don't want them to hunt. You want them to simply like hold a line.
Right. It is interesting to think of an herbivore as being brave. But yeah, like I guess also like elephants and there are many other hippos. Well, hippos are actually super aggressive and they will destroy you. But donkeys are not super aggressive. They will, you know, they will defend themselves. I mean, sometimes, you know, not to be misandrist here, but male donkeys can tend to be more aggressive than female donkeys. So most guard donkeys are actually females because they're simply more logical and calm and rational than the male donkeys.
Right, right, right. That makes sense.
To me, it is really charming and wonderful, and that like there are donkeys out there who have, it's just like this elite force of guard donkeys, and they're not, you know, it's not like wanton violence that these donkeys are dealing out. They just like, you know, they're the kind of bouncer you want where,
yeah,
like they're not gonna keep going past the point of like when it's like, okay, he gets it, he's leaving. They're not gonna, you know, keep like, you know, beating down a guy. It's like,
yeah, they're what people think the cops are as opposed to what cops really are, which is like,
right,
yeah,
replace cops with donkeys.
Yeah, literally. I mean, with anything. Yeah, but yeah,
that'd be cute and effective.
Exactly. Yeah. Couldn't be worse anyway, so certainly worth trying.
I agree. Elite donkey force, easily bribed with like little carrots and sugar cubes. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Is feeding like a donkey or a horse a sugar cube? I know that's like a thing from me. It just felt that to me started as soon as you said it. I was like, is that real or is that like a cartoon thing?
I think it's real. I mean, they don't want to make it it would be sort of a special treat.
Yeah.
But I think it's not something you want to do frequently. Yeah. It's like when an animal gets, I mean, some animals cannot, like they won't necessarily react to sugar that much. But like if they're getting a dose of something more sugary than their normal diet, it's like, oh, this is great. I mean, it's just like with humans. That's why we like sugar.
Yeah, it's just energy in a little.
It's energy. And it's like it is rare to have such a high concentration of sugar. So when something is rare, we're like, oh, we got to.
Yeah,
like stock up on this because I found like a gold mine. And that's why, you know, we eat so much sugar.
It's good.
It's so good. So donkeys are not only brave, but their intelligence has been underestimated. There still needs to be more research into it. It seems like there's just like a weird lack of research into donkey intelligence. And I think that really needs to be rectified. Norm Matthews, who's a veterinarian, is one of the few people who has spent over a decade studying donkey cognition. And she believes donkeys are quite intelligent. They can open and deconstruct fences. They seem to form strong bonds with people and can recognize their own names. They're trainable. And a lot of people who own donkeys compare them to dogs. They say they act very similar lead to just like oversized dogs.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty rad, honestly.
I know. Just a sweet, sweet little doggy that you can also ride, but only if they feel like it. So you know that it's an actual bonding activity.
Right, 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 right. Yeah. You can't force them.
Yeah, exactly. You have to build respect with them. Just like dogs, there are multiple breeds of donkey. So the largest breed and perhaps most fancy looking is the Baudet du Poitou, who has a long shaggy coat, who's bred in France, and were basically the Lamborghini of donkeys during the Middle Ages for French nobility. So you had these rich French nobles like rolling up in their Baudet du Poitou's and just, you know, rubbing it in. All the poor people's faces that they have this fancy shaggy donkey.
Right. It's the shag creates a maintenance thing that right? That has to be part of it. It's just like harder to maintain a long haired anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you gotta trim it, wax it, probably.
Yeah, comb that motherfucker.
Yeah. There's also the miniature donkey from the Mediterranean area. They weigh around 200 to 400 pounds, which you compare that to that Lamborghini donkey we talked about, which weighs up to 900 pounds. And then there's the Andalusian donkey, which is a Spanish breed who is one of the tallest donkeys. It's more horse-like with these very long rabbit-like ears. So there are, I think, you know, just... I'll have these in the show notes, but just like Google different breeds of donkeys. I mean, they do have some diversity there, and they're They can be quite stunningly beautiful, really interesting looking. And it's something I think people don't necessarily know. They just think donkey is just like kind of one flavor of donkey.
Right. Well, it is also, though, except for the tall one. Now I can't remember. Oh, here it is. Andalusian. It's like just 10% squatter than a horse. And I think like our human brains immediately disrespect that. We like so like respect height that it really is just like that's the main difference visually, it feels like.
Height bias is everywhere.
Yeah.
Even among ungulates.
Yeah. They're not short. They're just like shorter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I it's discrimination and it's wrong, you know? These poor, they're braver than horses. They were so important to helping humanity create civilization, and we're just like, yeah, but you're like an inch too short. You know?
But it's the same as like, you know, there's the folks who like love the concept of the railway train, and then everyone else is just like it disappears. Like you just don't think about any of that. It's just the infrastructure. Like, you know, you're just
replace cops with donkeys and replace cars with trains.
Yes.
This is my utopia.
Yeah.
This is like, you think I'm joking. Like that's, that
would
be my
utopia. Better world. Yeah, for sure.
It would be.
Indisputably.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
So we're going to talk about wild asses now. They are the undomesticated wild counterparts to donkeys. So these are not just the feral donkeys. These are the actual wild donkeys that were the progenitors of donkeys. These are what we took from nature and, you know, selectively bred to become donkeys. So donkeys were specifically bred from the wild asses found in Nubia and Somalia. The Somalian wild donkey looks a bit like a cross between a donkey and a zebra because it has these little stripies on its legs. It looks kind of like a donkey-zebra hybrid, but it is not a hybrid. This is just how it is. And the desert origins of the donkey means it was well adapted for a tough, hot, and often sparse environment. And in addition to having that hardy digestive system and being drought tolerant, those really long ears probably helped keep the wild donkey cool, similar to the African hare, which also has these rabbits have big ears, but it has huge ears. And we see this pattern of these really large ears, often in prey species that live in hot climates, sometimes predators too, though, because the ears not only allow them great hearing, But as blood travels through the large surface area of the ears, it cools them down. So it's like these little air conditioners mm-hmm. for their blood. Yeah. So
right. That makes sense. There's like a double utility. It's the radar dish and the heat sink, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so while the wild ass species can run as fast as horses, they, like their domesticated donkey kindred, are not easily intimidated. They will defend themselves. You know, they don't really have the same condensed permanent herd structure as like zebras. Like I mentioned earlier, they can have this like loose herd structure where they will socialize and they can actually become quite large, like up to 50 individuals. They'll like hang out during the day, but then in the evening they kind of dissipate and go their separate ways. So they're like, you know, they're not introverts. They're not like just always clinging to the group. They've got their own stuff going on, but then they're like up to hang. So I think that's kind of nice.
Well, it almost too, the other way to look at it to me is it's like they would rather be at home, but like, look, they go where the work is. So it's like,
right.
So yeah, I gotta go put in some time at this acre over here because this is where the grass is or whatever.
Right. Yes. I mean, I think they do enjoy each other's company, though, because it seems like even though they're perfectly capable of defending themselves, when resources are more abundant, they do like to be around each mm-hmm. other. And they are very affectionate. You know, when they bond with people, they will like nuzzle you and they will hang out with you. I've seen videos of people who have like house donkeys who like come in the house and like cuddle with them in bed. I was already on the border about like letting my dog sleep in my bed sometimes. I mean, she has to sleep in the crate at night, but she'll like wake me up in the morning, you know, with dog breath. But like having a whole ass sleep in your bed is a little bit a lot.
That's wild. I guess it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have a pretty. It's a different kind of bed than I own, I suppose.
Yeah. You got to have a structurally stable bed.
Yeah.
But there are other species of wild donkey found outside of Africa, such as the onagers. Onagers are found all over Asia and the Middle East. They used to have a wider range that included more of the Middle East and Europe, but their populations dwindled there. It's probably our fault, in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
So they generally look like a reddish-brown donkey with white bellies. They're quite beautiful. There's also the Kiang, which is the largest wild donkey, who is found in the Tibetan Plateau in the montane grasslands. They're more of a chestnut brown with white bellies. They will do this behavior that is really amazing, where they will form rings where they face each other with their butts sticking out and start kicking outward at any predators that is foolish enough to try to approach this angry ring of kicking asses with their asses out.
Oh, wild. That's some like, that's some like basic Greek infantry.
Yeah, they've got like the Spartan. I don't remember what that Spartan, what was it? It's like that structure with the shields.
Yeah.
It's like the shield formation
not
thing.
The phalanx, but something like that.
Something like that. I didn't pay him enough attention in the, you know, history classes. But yeah, like they phalanx wolves and stuff. It's really impressive.
That's so, I guess it makes sense. And yeah, that's if you're like, if your body is makes it so that kicking backwards is the most effective thing you can do.
Right. And I mean, they can stomp with their front legs, but the effectiveness of the phalanx thing that they're doing is like their sensitive bits, like their necks and their
faces
are inside, and then outside is just like strong butts and kicks coming out for these wolves, which I feel a little sorry for the wolves, but you know.
Yeah, I mean that is a little the thing. It's like actually being a predator in nature sucks so bad. You're just starving all the time.
People are like see them as sort of the antagonists and like that they're fearless, kind of just going around enjoying murdering, but they live in constant fear. And they'll actually be that's why they're so easily intimidated by donkeys, is if they're injured, that can be it for them. Because if they can't hunt, they're goners.
Yeah.
So like even a minor injury can actually kill them.
All these like back to nature assholes, like, oh, I'm a lone wolf. It's like lone wolves could die from a fucking paper cut.
Yes.
Like, it sucks to be a lone wolf.
Yeah, lone wolves, like, are usually the ones that are goners, you know? Yeah. That's the one good lesson we could learn from Game of Thrones is that, actually, no, it's not being a lone wolf. They have a pack formation that's very suitable for them. But if you want to be a rugged individual, I think donkeys are a much better example because they still care about their community, mm-hmm. but they're okay with kind of being on their own as well. And so I think that is a much more... That's a thing to aspire to,
right? Well, it's by necessity. Like you're an individual by necessity, but that's also true of human lone wolves. They don't see the world in a correct way.
Right. I mean, like, yeah, but like if you're more of a introvert or solitary person, you can still, you can still have the courage of a donkey and defend.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and know that it's all built off of this society that we have all agreed, helps each other, even if you don't
think
we
exactly.
are.
Right, exactly. Yes, exactly.
So we have to play a quick game of Guess Who's Squawking. Last week's mystery animal sound was with this hint. It has a prehensile tail, a hunger for eucalyptus. And fresh meat. This is Australia's brush-tailed possum. So congratulations to Joey P, who guessed correctly, and to runner-up Ido R, who guessed opossum, but the North American variety. So not quite right. So the brush-tailed possum is a marsupial found in Australia. They're like the opossums we have in the U.S. In terms of both being marsupials, but they're actually not all that closely related. So they're related in that they're both marsupials, but they're not the super most closely related of the marsupials. So the Australian brush-tailed possum looks like a giant mouse with a fluffy, brushy tail. It's extremely adorable. But like the American opossum, they are adept at taking advantage of human habitation and will raid gardens, kitchens, and trash cans, or even boxes of pastries. There's this really cute picture of a possum just inside a box of pastries, jam all over its mouth, tummy distended. It's my favorite picture, and I feel like it represents me the most of any animal. While they do eat a lot of eucalyptus, they won't turn their nose up at fresh meat. They will eat rats or other small animals. So, on to this week's mystery animal sound. The hint? I know Father's Day was a couple weeks ago, but it's still not too late to celebrate the amazing dad who makes this sound. If you think you know the answer, you can write to me at creaturefeaturepod@gmail.com. Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having
Andrew.
Me.
Where can people find you?
Oh, I guess just Andrew T on anything. Last name is spelled T-I. Yosis Racist is going on tour. So you can go to suboptimalpods.com and find out tickets. What are we doing? Boston, Austin, Minneapolis, and Brooklyn currently. I think that is honestly probably going to be our main shows. That's it. That's where you can find me.
Awesome. Please do it because, that is it's a great podcast, and I thought the blog was great.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining. If you're enjoying the podcast, you know to leave a review. And I print out all the reviews, and I am adding it to my paper mache man. And, so please help me with that project. And thanks to the Space Cossacks for their super awesome song, Exolumina. Creature Features, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts like the one you just heard, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or hey, guess what? Wherever you listen to your favorite shows, and I did that in one breath.
Amazing.
See you next Wednesday.
Ladies and gentlemen,
are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.